Maureen Brower faced a choice. It was March of 2014. She'd been teaching at Blaine Elementary School in North Philadelphia's Strawberry Mansion neighborhood for 5 years. The more years she taught, the more she felt that she was making a positive difference in students' lives. But then she became increasingly filled with doubt when, as the years went by, many of her former students, a few grades older, seemed to be sailing adrift.
It would make me upset because I felt like all the work that I had done was now undone. And I didn't know how to fix it. And I wanted to fix it.
Part of the problem, Brower says, came from a lack of cohesion among the faculty.
In previous years, we haven't always had 100% of teachers following through with things. So they were just kind of set in their ways of just doing the same thing over and over again.
The school's principal, Janine Powell, had become increasingly frustrated with this as well.
You know, you just have to have the right people on board who want to do the same type of work, not coming in at a certain time and leaving at a certain time and knowing that this is, you know, hard work. And hard work takes, you know, lots of time outside of the school day.
Late in the 2013-14 school year, Powell began pushing to make a big change. Powell hoped to exercise a clause in the teacher's contract that allows half of a school's faculty to be pushed out for a turnaround effort. But she didn't want to do it unless there was support among the school's teacher leaders, including Brower. Brower and the leadership team mulled it over. Eventually, they voted yes, and then helped Powell interview new applicants for their former college jobs.
Seeing my most successful students not be so successful anymore, that made me want to make a change, needed to make a change for the kids and the community to become better.
That vote happened in March of 2014, and soon after, all teachers had to reapply for their jobs. Pro-union school advocates cried foul, and some of the faculty complained of being left in the dark. This was Principal Powell in April 2014.
I did sit down one-on-ones with each one of the teachers, and they were able to say if they wanted to be here. Some of them said, no, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to take my years and go to another school.
A school like Blaine does not, cannot, simply teach reading, writing, math, and science. Sitting in the heart of Strawberry Mansion, the K-8 school absorbs the problems and issues that plague the surrounding community.
Our needs in this school are so high.
Andrew Brooking teaches 6th and 7th grade math.
The stories you get, the families you get, parent-teacher conferences, I was, you know, like I had in one day, you know, 5 or 6 parents were, you know, bawling in the conferences, crying because, you know, they want their kids to do so well, but they're dealing with so many challenges outside of school that get in the way of them being able to, you know, really affect change in their own kids' life. And that's the neighborhood.
The predominantly African-American school sits in a neighborhood where the median household income is about $20,000. About a quarter of the adults in the neighborhood have less than a high school education. Almost a quarter of the student body has a special education disability. The school district did not give Blaine any extra resources for the turnaround effort. So, like many elementary schools in the city in the past few years, Blaine does not have a full-time nurse, guidance counselor, or school police officer, which often leaves those tasks to Principal Powell.
I am like a CEO of a school instead of the instructional leader because, you know, I am the nurse. I'm in the counselor part-time. You know, I'm filling in for all of the things that are missing within the school.
In the face of such vast problems and systemic deficiencies, the whole idea of turnaround can seem Sisyphean. But this past year brought differences that many say have made an important impact. Cynthia Thomas has 2 young children at the school.
They painted inside. They fixed it up real nice. It's gorgeous inside.
It's these outward, physical differences that tend to catch the eye on first glance. New paint job, new school logo, more technology in the classroom, college banners hanging above every door. For parent Andrea Garrett, it's the school's new student uniform policy, sharp white Oxford shirts and burgundy sweaters.
It's teaching them how to dress different, you know, not just jeans and t-shirts. It's teaching them how to be responsible and how to be in the world. You know, when they go to work and apply for jobs, you got to dress a certain way.
There are other important changes, too. The school day is an hour longer, 4 days of the week, allowing students to be released early on Wednesdays so that staff can meet for professional development and collaboration. Student data are now regularly tracked, shared with parents in real time, and discussed among faculty. Principal Powell's vision is that of a laboratory where teachers are in constant open dialogue about how to improve classroom instruction.
But it's not like a put down. It's like, no, we're identifying a concern and we are addressing that concern and then we're practicing. So, you know, practice making perfect and then going into that classroom ready to go.
Blaine's turnaround effort was aided by a $1.5 million grant from the Philadelphia School Partnership. That's the money that gave the school a facelift, paid for a turnaround consultant, and sent Powell to a year-long intensive principal training program. The grant came to the school in large part because of the organization's faith in Principal Powell, who's been at the school for 7 years.
My personal life, I don't have one. I'm a single mom, 2 kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. So they know whenever I come home, we're sitting at the table, we're doing homework, and mommy's doing work too.
In the first few years especially, the work of changing school culture and rapidly improving student ability is often grueling and frustrating. It takes educators who are willing to devote an almost unhealthy amount of time to a job where hurdles are high, setbacks are often, and progress can seem like a mirage.
I mean, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. That's it. Like, I don't... What drives that? It's a passion deep down.
Again, math teacher Andrew Brooking.
I don't think I'd want a job where I just go home 5 o'clock, shut the light off, and I'm done. So I think that's just a personality thing.
Brooking is one of the new teachers at Blaine, one who came in after the big shakeup. He's big bearded with deep brown eyes, evoking visions of a beat poet at the blackboard. Before Blaine, he taught at one of Kipp's Philadelphia charter schools. There, he says he learned to be a relentlessly effective educator. At Blaine, he has a partner teacher, also newly arrived from Kipp, which only accepts students through a lottery.
She and I, like, both know, lived, and saw what it means to make a super effective classroom. Kids that are growing 3 years in 1 year, we know what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like in a way. I know that it's possible, so why not go back to a place where you don't have to be lucky to be there?
Talking to Brooking as he lived through Blaine's year of turnaround revealed the highs and lows of the work. It also raised questions about its sustainability. Brooking comes to Blaine at 6 a.m. every day and doesn't leave until 6 p.m. At age 31, he has no designs on a marriage or a family.
It's almost like a birth control, just working with kids here all the time. So I'm like, you know, I don't have any desire to have children at this point because I feel like I have, you know, 30 of them, you know, right now.
When we talked in August 2014, during the first week of school, he was upbeat, confident, and excited. By December, it was a different story.
Last time we talked, it's been August. Wow. It's like a whirlwind, I feel like, you know.
After months of living and breathing the challenges, Brooking seemed tired.
I think going every day with the high expectations can wear you down a little bit, can be challenging. And we're going through the work right now. And so is it sustainable? I don't know. I think for me, I personally don't see myself teaching, right, 10 years from now.
For those on the outside, without much experience in schools, it can be hard to understand why great gains aren't made more often in chronically underperforming schools. The conversation often turns to a debate. One side questions the adequacy of resource levels, while the other questions the effectiveness or dedication of educators. Blaine now has what a lot of reformers seek, a trusted school leader working with a teaching force hand-picked to carry out her vision. Still, interview after interview led back to one word: funding.
Before I worked in a school, I didn't realize that everyone can work their absolute hardest, and if you're not getting all the funding you need, that you're just still going to be suffering.
Cynthia Jones came to the school this past year through AmeriCorps to coordinate community outreach.
I kind of just thought, you know, if everybody tries their best, you know, I'm sure it could work out, but it's a lot more complicated than I thought it was.
As the school year progressed, Andrew Brooking found himself in an existential struggle. He came to Blaine thinking he'd only stay as long as he felt the turnaround was making a real, substantial difference. By the midpoint in the year, he was constantly questioning the school's progress and taking an increasingly skeptical role among faculty.
So I'll talk to my other leadership members and they're like, oh, you should have seen last year. Like, this is, you know, and I'm like, so? I'm like thinking, you know, we need to keep pushing. We need to, like, this is not good enough. And I think that's been the consistent thing in my head is like, we are not there. We are not close.